We're back with E. Richard Atleo. He is the author of Tzawak, A New Chadnoth Worldview. It has recently been published on a paperback version by UBC Press. I'm Paul Nelson. Dr. Richard Atleo was the guest of the Center for World Indigenous Studies today. When we talk about these statements created by these opinions shaped by people like Thomas Hobbes and his contemporaries, it might be, you know, we could shake our heads or say that's bad science or do whatever, but the limitations of their view have richly affected the life and well-being of indigenous people for 300, 400 years.
Yes, that's true. And it's my belief, contention, that these academics, they were academics of their day, were largely responsible for much of the, theirs weren't the only belief systems, by the way. There was other information that was available about Aboriginals that was good information. It's little known that, I think it was in the 16th century, a royal commission was done that found that Aboriginals were indeed people, that they had organized societies and so on, that they were, that they should be dealt with as people should be dealt with anywhere.
That the chief of these peoples was sort of served a role of high priest as well as leader, as well as political leader.
Yes, that was observation by Mozinho, a Spanish explorer that came up the coast and conversed with Mukuna and made observations about the society of the day.
It was rather complex.
Yes, yes. Mozinho's observations were provided sort of tip of the iceberg type of observations about our society. Not complete. There was some misunderstanding provided as well. But that's quite. He was not a trained observer. I mean, many of the people that came made observations were not trained observers.
He got it pretty well, don't you think?
Yes, he did. He did very well. As a matter of fact, I will have to concede that, yes. Now, information about our societies and about have often been subjected to misinterpretation. So you can take the same sort of event, and if you interpret it from a scientific worldview perspective, that event comes out very poorly.
For example, if I say, tell us about Snot Boy, you'll yeah. immediately have a
exactly.
problem with that.
Okay? As well as Wolf Ritual, yes.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
We should be talking about Son of Mucus is what I'm referring
exactly,
to.
Yes. For example, an observation was made in a contemporary text about Nootkin Whaling. Nootkin Whaling, they called it. And I did a review of the book, and there's a statement in there that's intended to be neutral. And the statement was, many whaling ventures were unsuccessful and left, that it was just left that way. Many whaling ventures were unsuccessful. And that was rather the dominant description of the whaling aspect of our people. It would be very much like saying Alexander Graham Bell had 1,236 failures during his experimentation, and you failed to mention.
By the way, he did also did this thing on the telephone. We'll tell you about that later.
Exactly. Right, exactly. Right.
Well, you know, I'm looking at that part of the world, Clackwat Sound, and thinking that, the Indians on the east coast of North America, tremendously devastated. And as you get further west, the devastation continued, but I'm guessing that we get up here to the northwest and it's not as bad as it was, not complete devastation. There's still remnants. Some cultures have survived. And I'm thinking, Is it because of your area that you were able to avoid some of the worst brunts of colonialism?
No, that's not. That would be not be our interpretation. The worst swept the entire continent from coast to coast. The diseases decimated our populations to a horrendous degree. During the residential schools, it has not been really publicized, and only recently has information surfaced that we have testimony from people that were recently alive and some that are still alive, where TB was deliberately spread amongst our students. People were made to sleep with an infected TB person. There were girls that where abortion was committed, and the girls died as a result of the abortion because at that time the abortion, they didn't know much about how to do abortions, I suppose. But there were a lot of deaths that took place in residential schools that were never reported, that were kept quiet, as a matter of fact, right across the country. That's a recent kind of information. But the devastation to our community, one of the very significant anthropologists in Canada has made the statement that the banning of the potlatch was not significant. I find that a horrendous statement for a person who didn't live, who was not an Aboriginal, a very respected anthropologist, is a good example of how misunderstandings continue to the present day. Many of the deaths in my own community, I would attribute to the banning of the potlatch, to the laws that were created in Canada, that were placed in the Constitution of Canada. So all the powers of the state brought to bear against my people. I think my grandfather perished, as did my father, as a result of these laws that disempowered the chiefs, the people who governed our communities, who maintained order in our communities. And when they were disempowered, then chaos naturally came in like a flood, and will every time you loose, every time you relax, because our teaching was you must be vigilant. You must always, so the rule of law, as in the West they say, the rule of law was always very strongly upheld in our communities through the Tlukwana, through teachings, through songs and dances, and so on. And when that was relaxed, as soon as the relaxed, then the destructive forces came in like a tsunamic flood. And so we have all of the what research has shown us today, the highest incidence of every dysfunction, including death, in our communities. No part of the continent escaped the massive brunt, destructive brunt of colonization.
After September 11th, the United States, we forget about it now, but there was a huge spread of or fear of anthrax. And I'm wondering if you think that the perpetration of biological warfare against indigenous peoples is somewhere in the back of the consciousness or somewhere in the unconscious of American people, and that's why there's the anthrax thing scares them so much.
Very much so. Okay. The distribution, deliberate distribution of blankets as gifts that were infected with disease, smallpox, and decimating entire, it's biological warfare against indigenous people that was perpetrated over the last 200 years or more.
Yet in Canada, there's been some progress politically. 1997, a Canadian Supreme Court decision which made oral histories legitimate evidence in the eyes of Canadian law. A huge advance, would you agree?
Yes, that was called the Delgamuukw decision. And what was very interesting about that decision is that it affirmed Aboriginal rights and title and accepted oral histories as evidence in the court of law. And that's a landmark decision. However, the fact that oral histories are accepted in court as evidence does not mean, of course, that when we Aboriginals present our oral histories, that they will be accepted verbatim as fact, because they are not. They will be treated in the same way that any other kind of evidence. Is it credible? And of course, at this moment, most of oral histories are not deemed credible from the Western perspective. And so we need a lot of work to do yet in that area. The other thing is that the recognition of Aboriginal title and rights in Canada is a principle, and the interpretation of which is still to be done. And so that, what does it mean to be Nochanalt for the Ahouset people. What does it mean? What does Aboriginal rights and title mean for us? The Supreme Court of Canada has not defined the specifics of that, and so that work is very much a moot point still. It's a point of negotiation. So we sit at the treaty table, and so it's a struggle where we are at a disadvantage, because we're on their playground. We're in their playground, and they're gradually accepting some of our ways, but predominantly the rules of the game are their rules.
Still going in the right direction. Yeah, I remember being in Canada, I think, when Paul Martin was being sworn in as Prime Minister, and was watching him be smudged by a native elder. So to see, to just picture President Bush allowing that to happen, to me is inconceivable. So I would then argue that the Canadian Aboriginal people have a leg up on their contemporaries or their counterparts.
That would appear to be so. However, I think a good deal of skepticism always is warranted when observing the behavior of politicians.
no matter what continent.
You should know and understand that the Prime Minister of Canada is leading a minority party. He has a minority in government, and so he must woo as many people, groups as possible. And so being smudged, then he hopes to garner as many Aboriginal votes in Canada as possible.
So you say it's a pure political act, then? Well, we won't have to put you on the spot regarding politics. Can you elaborate on why you say in the book that the experiment with colonialism is over and it has been a failure?
Yes, that is one perspective. A successful colonial experiment would have meant the disappearance of any culture other than the cultures that came over to this continent. The fact that they were unable to do that, the actual word that was used by a Jesuit missionary in 1632 was extirpate. We must extirpate in the educational process all of the thoughts, habits, and feelings of Aboriginal children and inculcate, right, the Western, the European thoughts, habits, and feelings. And, of course, at that time, it was thought to be a kindness. That was thought because on the evolutionary scale, we are the most advanced. If we make them like us, then that's a kindness that we perform towards them. So in either way, it would mean a disappearance of Aboriginal people and Aboriginal identity as we know it. Because we retain our identity, because we retain our songs and dances, because I am Umiq, it's been a failure to that extent. To the extent that we have been destroyed and many of our ways have been forgotten, it's been successful to that. So it's a mixed, it isn't a complete failure. But in important ways, it's been a great test for a way of life that, if it was not authentic, if it did not have legitimacy in the dimensions of reality that I speak of, that is the spiritual and physical dimensions, then the existence of it would have been jeopardized and may have gone out of existence. But because it is legitimate, because it is authentic, because the existence of it is actually not completely controlled by the human being, right? That there are greater powers involved here that allowed us to continue as we are, and for that we are grateful and thankful. There